Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today is democracy and the destiny of nations. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust organization, which sponsors this show, and she wrote 24 volumes of literature, and the main inspiration for the dialogue that you'll hear on this show comes from the works of Alice Bailey, as does the following thought. Through the democracies, humanity speaks. But, you know, before we discuss the spiritual significance of democracy, what do the writings of Alice Bailey mean by the destiny of nations?
It's a phrase that's kind of puzzling. It's the title of one of the books she wrote. It's one of our shorter books, but I think one of my favorites. The destiny of the nations refers to the part that each nation plays within the plan for the whole. And I don't think most of us are accustomed to thinking that our nation, of which we are one little tiny part, has a part to play within a much greater whole, but it does. And realizing that part depends on the nation awakening to its soul destiny. Every nation, at least every great and long-standing nation, has both a personality and a soul aspect, just as each individual does, a higher and a lower self, a form and an inner spiritual quality or consciousness that expresses itself through the form of the nation. And there is a link between democracy and the destiny of nations, because I think that a nation can't work out its destiny without there being a certain level of functioning democracy, because as the opening thought said, through the democracies, humanity speaks. The citizens of a nation express the quality of the national soul through the working out of the democratic agenda, because that's how we make our voice known. Nations are really, I think, a rather new phenomenon on the world scene, from what I understand, going back really only a few hundred years. For example, Germany and Italy were not nations until quite recently in human history. They were collections of tribes and fiefdoms and groups of people, but didn't have a real national cohesiveness. And this country went through the great struggle to figure out the right balance between states and federal government. So it's a fairly new phenomenon in human evolution. We can see it in the growth of the UN membership. Just a few years ago, I remember when there were some 150 nations that belonged to the UN, and now I think it's 190-some.
191, I think.
Yeah, and there are new nations that have been forming with the end of colonialism, but more recently, new nations are applying. Mm-hmm. And this, I think, implies a level of integration that societies have reached when they become a nation, distinguish their role within the larger whole of humanity, identify their place, and begin to assert it?
I think all nations have now or will at some time go through their in their evolutionary cycle. They have all nations, I think, have a certain destined goal to fulfill, and all nations go through a period of experimentation through trial and error before they discover what that goal is or objective. And they all work out some particular objective just that's evident in their everyday lives. And the citizens of the nation may not fully realize what that objective is, but just through by working, as you say, bringing that soul quality through a nation, through a people, then that the outlines of that objectives become more apparent.
Don't the writings of Alice Bailey say that the United States has a particular role in expressing or developing democracy into a truly functioning attribute on that would work on behalf of the plan?
Yes, it's...
It's being thrashed out within the United States, so
right,
to speak.
This is one of the experiments.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is what
I think that's the word she uses, experiment.
Alice Bailey books, she uses the word experiment because there's the process going on, and each nation is going through this process, and we're experimenting with different ways, different ideologies. Just in the last century, you know, we had the experiment with communism, with fascism, and with democracy, and also with many other little isms here and there. And some of them work for a while, and then they fall of their own weight, or if they, if it's not what is required in the world at this time. And so I think there we have to kind of stand back and look at the big picture here and see that all of these are experiments that are working towards some greater objective which we don't even recognize yet.
We're just in the middle of it.
Right. And democracy, is, as it says in the writings here, is only a temporary experiment on the way. And there is more yet to come.
One of the reasons I think it's such an experiment important in the life of the United States is because this is such a mixed, heterogeneous society. There's so many different groups and interests all working to have their agenda brought forward. And so working out a democratic system in this country is sort of miraculous when you think about it. But we have the foundation that the founding fathers left us, and a good constitution, and generally an acceptance of rule by law, although I suppose we could debate that. But like you say, it's an experiment that's underway, and we haven't achieved perfection in it. There's a phrase I like, to make the world safe for democracy, because that implies that there has to be a certain level of stability before democracy can be withstood. And when you think about it, look at California with the present decision to exercise a vote to recall the governor. That's democracy, some people say, run amok, where people have decided to throw out the governor without letting him complete his full term. And it's questionable that it's a wise decision on their part. Democracy takes an educated public and people who are well-informed, sensible, unselfish.
And yes, and that's not easy because in that situation out there, we tend to get, if you rule by referendum, you tend to get maybe the lowest common denominator and in the decisions that are voted on and become law, and that's not always the best for the people, even though they may not realize it. I think there is in the United States, there's this, we mentioned this experiment working out, and I think one thing that is in front of us and what we are working slowly out is to gain this acquire this fusion of groups, fusion of ethnic groups, of religion and races, and that's really our the destiny, let's say, our current destiny of the United States,
mm-hmm.
is to work out this fusion between all these diverse groups and do it in a way that is democratic and takes each of the value of each one of these groups into account, and make it actually strengthens the country by not dividing these groups, but by bringing them together and taking the best from each of them.
Somewhere in the writings of Alice Bailey, she mentions the need for goodwill if you're going to really have a functioning democracy. And maybe we could come back to that topic after the break, because that's, I think, a fascinating idea to ponder.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today is democracy and the destiny of nations. And I read someplace that every year in New York alone, $7,225,000, more or less just thrown away because people are too lazy or they don't want to take the time to take their cans and bottles to the supermarket and get the 5 cents for each one of them. Well, if you take your cans and bottles to the supermarket and cash them in and send them as a donation here, that would keep us on the air. So next time you throw them away and decide that you're not going to make use of them, think that you could keep this show, which a lot of people have expressed interest in and want to have us remain on the air. That would keep us on the air. So do your part and contribute to keeping us on the air, and send all your donations from those cans and bottles that now you're going to make an effort to take to the supermarket. Send them to Lucis Trust, not the cans and bottles, by the way. I can see a look of horror coming on Dale's face. But send the money that you get from those deposits, bottle deposits and can deposits, to Lucis Trust, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And we'd be happy to help, and you'd be really contributing to cleaning up New York that way, too. Also, if you'd like a general package of information, which tells you a lot about who we are, and you might find some interesting literature in there as well, just give us a call and order that general package of information, 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. LUCIS is L-U-C-I-S. 1-866. Think of New York LUCIS. We were speaking about democracy, and democracy is sometimes kind of ambiguous as far as its meaning. Has there ever been a true democracy?
Not yet, that I am aware of. We probably think that our own system in America and Canada and all the free democratic nations is a true democracy, but it isn't if the people are subjected to the influence and the impact of pressure from special interest groups, from media that might very well be biased toward a particular point of view, and wherever the society is still prone toward self-interest and selfishness, not only on the part of individuals, but on the part of groups. Groups can be just as selfish and separative as individuals can. And wherever those forces are at play, you don't have a true democracy, because the distribution of energy and force in a society like that is the survival of the fittest, and might makes right, and the majority rules. That's what probably most people think a democracy is, the majority rules, and if you're not in the majority, you lose, too bad. But a democracy of a true spiritual sort is the kind implied in our opening thought, through the democracies humanity speaks. And humanity includes all of us. Everybody has to have a say and a voice in a democracy, and that can work. It's idealistic for me to say this, but it can work when people care about and identify with the whole more than just with their own little realm.
And that is really the secret, the key, because it moves one off that selfish point of view towards the greater whole, which stimulates and brings in those values of the soul. And just as you said in the beginning, every individual has this soul quality that we aim to manifest in our lives. So does a nation, a group, a fusion of people, also the combined energies and forces of these people of a nation also has a soul factor, a soul attribute. And so if the people try to reach for the best and the highest that's within them and allow this to be the governing principle in their lives and their decisions, then these special interest preoccupations with special interest, I think, will be overridden.
And that would be what real leadership is, the ability to speak to this highest and best within a particular nation and to express the necessary changes and the goal toward which all of the society should aspire and unify. A real leader should be able to draw the society together and move it higher beyond self-interest and outer preoccupations with material concerns. And when you think of that, true leaders are few and far between. We've had some. One was, in my opinion, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who lifted people out of the paralyzing fear of the Depression. Lincoln was another who put the preservation of the Union above all other separate selfish interests. But too often leaders just represent the largest constituency, and that's considered democracy. That's just the successful bullying of the more powerful over the weaker.
And we have to also keep in mind that, as I think we said earlier, that there is so much more beyond where we are now, that we should always be striving for the higher that's not only within us, but within this nation, and reaching out to other nations, because it's not only just the amalgamation of infusion of people within our own border, but it's the fusion with other nations in the world that will is building those relationships that lead to a fusion of nations. And of course that's what we have in the beginning stage in the United Nations, that fusion process.
I think that would be news to quite a lot of people in positions of real influence. And that's unfortunate how little attention is given to that. There's a very interesting passage from the writings of Alice Bailey about this national ideal or goal that faces the U.S. She said that above democracy is something that the U.S. may call the democratic ideal, but in truth it's something that grows out of and eventually supersedes democracy. It's the ideal of spiritual government, a government by the highest and the most spiritual to be found in the land. So democracy as we presently know it is often an expression of, we could say, the lowest common denominator. And too often the campaigns and the issues are mobilized around some low factor rather than some uplifting concern. But she's implying that beyond democracy there is a kind of government that would be a spiritual government, the rule of the highest and the best. I don't think by that is implied that the ordinary human beings wouldn't have a say, but that in fact their voice would be expanded and focused and liberated by the leadership of higher spiritual forces. And we're not talking, I don't think, about the spiritual hierarchy or the kingdom of souls, but of real leaders among us, human beings who can speak to the very qualities you've described, the sensing of relationship with other nations. And
yes, by the word spiritual, she doesn't mean religious.
No.
She's not referring to a church or to some religious organization. She's referring more to a spiritual quality which has to do with consciousness, expansion of consciousness. And because that's where the true spirit begins to manifest itself, when consciousness begins to expand through the mind, through the awakening mind, with the soul, and bringing through those soul qualities.
So, do we know what a true democracy is? Not at this time. I think it awaits an intelligent and enlightened public opinion. And we're getting there. It's said that people today, the average person today, is as well informed as the real intellectuals of 500 years ago, thanks to education and the media and so on. So we're making strides, but a really informed, well-educated public opinion and a commitment to goodwill, even towards what one considers one's adversaries, toward people that stand on the other side of an issue, with a determination to find a solution that will be in the interests of everyone. Then you can have a real functioning democracy. And more we do hear people speaking to these values. It's not totally unrealistic and idealistic to express these recognitions, because you do hear people who work for them. And I find that very encouraging.
I think also there's maybe it's, you could inject this here also about the larger plan that's working out in the world. It's not just we're not just down here floundering and experimenting haphazardly. There is a plan behind it all, the plan of God, which we've referred to before, and this is being watched by those beings and guides on the inner side. They are helping in their own way, and there is the objective of bringing more light into the world, and light is released when there is this fusion, just as in fusion, atomic fusion of atoms, a great light is released. And this is essentially what is behind the whole thrust of the plan, and bringing more light into the world so that the earth itself becomes a radiant place, and not just a place of darkness and clouds and separateness.
Well, for that to happen, I think all of us are required to pay attention, to take an active part in the unfolding of national affairs, develop an interest and an identification with people beyond one's own community and group and family, and develop a sense of identification, if not with the one humanity, at least with one's nation, one's larger group. That's a start, and we can all begin there.
If you'd like that general package of information, it's very interesting. You get some insights into our meetings, meditation meetings, other meetings. Maybe perhaps you'd like to join us, but there's a lot of good literature in that general package of information. So give us a call, and we'll send it out to you, free of charge, of course. 1-866-695-8247. Once again, that's 1-866-695-8247. Easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. LUCIS is L-U-C-I-S. And you've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds, let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.